The Bakers of Weber's Bread present your all-star Western Theater. Hollywood comes your all-star Western Theater, starring America's great Western singers, Boy Willing and the Rioters of the Purple Sage, in music, song, and a story of the wide open spaces. My name is Cotton C. Clark, and here are the Rioters of the Purple Sage.
Yippee-yay, at the break of the day, I ride along with a song in my heart all the way. I find that open range of land that is free, out where the skies are blue, keep smiling down on me. When the sun goes to rest on the rim of the west, the moon above will return and the campfire will burn. To the stars above, I'll sing of my love with a sage bright symphony. You'll hear the sweet melodies in the sigh of the breeze, and all day long there's a song from the birds in the trees. When the stars come creeping into the sky, a lonely prairie lobo sings a lullaby. You hear the call of the wild in the twilight beguiled. You hear them blend at the end in melodious style. When the echoes fade, this sweet serenade is a sage bright symphony.
Back in the days of the early West, when the wild frontier had still to be settled, the pioneers had few of the niceties of life that we enjoy today. But one thing they shared in common with modern Westerners was love of good food. That's one reason why Weber's Bread is so popular with Southern California families. Weber's Bread is good food. Well mixed and well baked, Weber's Bread has a firm, even texture, a golden brown crust, and a distinctive flavor enjoyed by young and old. At breakfast, lunch, or dinner, Weber's Bread appeals to the eye and satisfies the appetite. Next time you go shopping, buy Weber's Bread and try it. Your entire family will enjoy Weber's, the good bread in the blue gingham wrapper.
Let's ride back through the years with the Riders of the Purple Sage as they sing another of those grand memory songs. From their saddlebag of familiar old Western ballads comes Wait For Me, Mary.
He sat alone in the still of the night with thoughts that were far away. He took a pen and he started to write just what his heart had to say.
Wait for me, Mary, till the world will smile again, till the smiles and smile again, and a dream worthwhile again. Wait for me, Mary, by the moon at garden gate, where my heart and I would wait for you.
There are so many things I want to tell you, little ones that I never told before.
And I hope that it won't be hard to tell you all the dreams I have in store. Wait for me, Mary, till the world I bring my love again to you.
And now let's join our men of the West, the Riders of the Purple Sage, as they go drifting along toward another of their weekly adventures. Suppose we take them back to the old days.
save the 1880s and see what happens when three easygoing fellows become involved in a murder. We find Foy, Al, and Jimmy riding toward Trail City. It's rather late at night, and they're tired, saddle sore, and hungry. And not knowing exactly how much further their destination, they ride up to a lamp-lighted ranch house in the hope that they may get food and lodging for the night. Al, who is always elected to do the dirty work, is voted to knock on the door and make the necessary speech.
Yes?
Well, howdy, ma'am. I wonder if... Well, hello.
Yes? What was it you wanted?
Well, ma'am, me and my two buddies are looking to get something to eat and to be put up for the night. That is, if you'd let us pay for it.
Well, I suppose so. Just a moment. Bob!
Yeah, Jane, what is it?
This gentleman and his two friends would like to put up for the night.
Oh, we'd be mighty much obliged if you could feed us and give us a bunk for the night, friend. We're willing to pay you well.
Well, I reckon it'd be all right. Never mind about the pay, though. Be glad to accommodate you.
Oh, we'd sure appreciate it. It's been 8 or 10 hours since we've eaten, and our horses are mighty tired, too.
Well, glad to help. Glad to help. Have your friends come in, and we'll stir up some food first.
Well, thank you. All right, boys, come on in.
Good. Right with you. Coming.
I'll get something ready to eat. It won't take me long.
My name is Floy, and this is Foy Willing and Jimmy Dean.
Glad to know you, boys. My name is Bob Fletcher.
Good to know you, Bob.
Hey, Bob. Reckon we're lucky to find you folks still up.
As a rule, we don't sit up this late, but my dad is riding in from Trail City, and we're waiting up for him.
We hate to bother you people like this.
No, I think nothing of it. Now, you must be mighty tired if you've been riding all day. There's a bucket of water and a pan there on the washstand if you want to wash up a bit. I'll put your horses up for you and see if I can fix you up a bunk for the night.
That's mighty nice of you, Fletcher.
Janie's getting some grub ready. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Man, these folks are full of nothing but hospitality.
Yeah, from all the hospitality they're showing us, you'd think we were long-lost cousins or something.
I don't get it myself. Gosh, this water's cold.
Yeah, especially since we're total strangers.
Hand me that towel, Foy.
Yeah. Well, you know, as long as we eat and sleep, I'm satisfied, though, you know.
Yeah. Boy, I hope whoever's fixing that grub don't keep us waiting.
Hey, you ought to see what's getting the grub ready. Man, she's as pretty as a spotted pup under a red wagon.
Now, wait a minute. Don't go trying to flirt with the man's wife.
Oh, I ain't, but that don't keep her from being pretty, boy.
Well, boys, your supper's on the table.
Wowie. You just ain't a-whoopin' about her.
What was that?
Oh, nothing, ma'am. I was talking about a spotted pup I know.
Oh. Well, I hope you boys don't mind things being cold. But it would take quite a while to make a fire in the cook stove, and I'm sure you're hungry.
Well, we sure are, ma'am.
By the way, where'd Bob go?
Oh, your husband is putting up our horses' hay.
You mean my brother.
Your brother?
Why, yes, I have no husband.
Well,
that's wonderful. Mm. I mean, that's too bad.
Yeah. You better tighten up your cinch there, Willen. You're slipping a little.
Well, right now you'd better eat.
Well, that's the most intelligent thing that's been said yet.
Then come right into the kitchen.
Miss Jane, this grub is nothing short of the best in the West.
I'm glad you like it. Here, have some more turnip greens.
Don't mind if I do.
You might pass me some more of that there sorghum molasses, boy.
Yes, here you are. And what can I pass you, Mr. Dean?
A couple more biscuits, I reckon.
Dean, you know better than that.
Well, I guess you better make it just one more biscuit.
Now, you eat all of them you want. I wish they were hot.
Boy, this here sausage is mighty fine.
Well, boys, your horses are cared for and your bunks are ready.
We don't know how to thank you folks for all of this kindness.
No, I think nothing of it.
We're happy to be of help.
Well, we're going to pay you, of course.
You do no such thing.
Wouldn't hear to it.
We sure do appreciate it.
Yes, sir, I'll say.
You boys planning on going to work in this part of the country?
Oh, well, we hadn't thought much about it. We generally stop off somewhere for a few weeks' work. That is, when our money runs low.
And we ain't too rich right now.
No.
Well, I don't wish you any financial hard luck, but I hope you need work now.
What do you mean?
I might as well come on out with it. Guess you men wonder why we gave such a big welcome to three strange men so late at night.
Yeah, we thought of that.
Well, we need help here on the ranch mighty bad.
Are hands scarce in this part of the country?
Mighty scarce. I just got back from Granite City a few minutes before you fellas showed up, and Dad and Jake Ballard, our foreman, are due in from Trail City most any minute. We've been scouting around for hands all day.
We have no one but our foreman and Bob left.
What brought on all of this shortage help?
A couple of weeks ago, some prospector supposedly struck gold up at Ore City near the state line, about a couple of 100 miles from here. Everybody and their dogs headed in that direction to get rich quick. It's a serious problem, not only for us, but for the other ranchers in this section.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Maybe I shouldn't have told you boys about it since I want to hire you so bad, but Yeah, you'd find it out anyway.
How come Ballard, your foreman, stay?
Well, Jake's been with us since he was a kid, almost. You see, Jake's father and our dad were partners in a lot of business deals, and Dad's kept him through loyalty. Even made him foreman of the ranch, which is all right with me, because, after all, Dad's interests are my interests.
This is a mighty big ranch, isn't it?
One of the biggest in these parts. And being without help presents a mighty serious problem.
All right, Fletcher, you can count on us. That is, for a while, anyway.
Oh, that's fine, boys. The pay is 40 and keep.
Hey, that must be Jake and Daddy coming now.
Bob, Jane, something terrible's happened.
What's wrong, Jake?
Where's Daddy?
He's in the wagon outside.
Well, what's happened?
What?
Somebody ambushed us on the way in, Bob. Your dad is dead.
Well, Bob, I know how upset you and Miss Janey are. And we want to let you know that we're going to help you in every way that we can.
Oh, thank you, boys. It's mighty nice of you. And I reckon there's no need to tell you how badly we really need you now.
Bob, who would have wanted to kill your father?
That's hard to say, Foy. In this country, every man is after all he can get. Dad could drive a hard bargain. And to be honest about it, he was cold-blooded when it came to business, but I can't think he'd do anything that would warrant a man's killing him.
Well, just exactly how did Jake Ballard describe the killing?
Well, they were driving along and had just reached Sunset Pass when somebody opened fire and emptied their gun at Jake and Dad. Two of the slugs found their mark. That's about all there was to it.
Then I believe Jake said he whipped the horses into a fast run toward home.
Yeah, that's right. Trying to figure out the killer is going to be a tough job.
Well, I hope something will turn up. Let us know if we can be of any help.
No, thank you a lot, boys.
You know, there's something mighty strange about old man Fletcher's death.
Now, don't tell us you got it all figured out.
Yes, I have.
Now, ain't that nice. Now you're going to get us mixed up in something that's none of our business.
Well, who do you think done it?
Jake Ballard either killed him or was in cahoots with the man that did.
Are you crazy? Ballard was just like a son to the old man.
Never mind what he was like. Remember when Jake came riding in with the old man's body?
Yeah.
He told Bob and Jane that he drove home like all get out from Sunset Pass?
Yeah.
So what?
It's 2 miles to Sunset Pass, according to Bob. And when a man runs a team of horses 2 miles, they're going to be sweating like rain and panting like a pump.
I think I'm beginning to get you.
If you remember when we went out to bring in Fletcher's body, those horses were as cool as a cucumber. They had either been walked from Sunset Pass or carried.
So, what does that prove?
It proves that somebody's been lying. The next morning, I went out and examined the wagon. There was a bullet hole in a sack of feed, and there wasn't any powder burns on it.
Nobody shooting from ambush from the side of the road could powder burn that sack.
Right. Suppose we just keep quiet on the subject for a few days and keep our eyes and ears open to every move that Jake Ballard makes.
Yeah.
But why would Jake kill him, and where would he profit by it?
Well, that's what we've got to find out.
I got word from Lawyer Simpson today, Jane. He's back from the Capitol.
I suppose he'd heard about Dad's death, then.
Yeah. Said he was going to drop out to see us day after tomorrow on some business.
Well, maybe he can throw some light on who might have had reason to kill Daddy.
I hope so. Been giving me a lot of worry.
The table is ready. You can call the boys.
Okay, Janie. All right, boys. Supper's ready.
Good.
Jake said he had something he wanted to discuss with us at supper tonight.
I wonder what's on his mind. Hope he's not wanting to quit.
Well, come on and sit right down, boys. Everything's ready.
Oh, thank you, Miss Jane.
Say, if you boys don't mind, right after supper, I have something I'd like to discuss and like to have all you fellas present.
Sure, we'll wait around, Jake.
Good.
Well, Jake, what's on your mind?
Bob, I have a letter here, and, well, I haven't any idea of what its contents are. It was given to me by your father a couple of months before he was killed. He asked me not to open it until a proper time after his death, and then to do so in the presence of you and Jane and witnesses.
I can't imagine what it's all about.
Neither can I.
Maybe it'll throw some light on who the killer is.
Well, let us hope so. Miss Jane, I'm going to suggest that you break the seal and read it to us.
I... I'd rather Bob would do it.
All right, Janie. To my dear children, Bob and Jane, I am writing this so in case of my death, there will be no misunderstanding regarding my properties. As you know, Jake Ballard's father and I were the closest of friends. After his death, I took his son to raise. I owe John Ballard the credit for all of my success. Therefore, I feel that I am only doing what is right when I ask my two children to share with Jake all of my properties, money, and holdings. This is the way I want it to be, and I hope there will be no objections. With deep love and affection, your father, Jim Fletcher.
Bob, I don't know what to say to you and Miss Jane. I had no idea that was what the letter was about.
It's all right, Jake. That was the way Dad wanted it. That's the way it'll be.
That's right, Jake. I'm sure Dad knew it was best.
Folks, this is kind of a personal thing between the three of you, so I reckon we could be excused now.
Sure, that's all right, boys. And thanks for staying.
Now, I'm telling you, there's something powerful wrong about the whole thing, especially this Jake Ballard.
It don't make sense to me.
The old man must have written that note, all right. Otherwise, Bob and Jane could have told.
Well, if you ask me, that's a funny way to leave a will.
Yeah, come to think of it, it is. Especially for a big layout like this.
Oh, here comes Bob now.
Well, boys, how's things going?
Fine, Bob. I guess you, Miss Jane, and Ballard have come to an agreement on how you'll operate from here on.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to have Lawyer Simpson put everything in legal form.
This is going to mean quite a lot to Jake, isn't it?
Third interest in $250,000 worth of property and money and stock.
That was mighty nice of your dad.
I can't quite understand it. But I reckon it's all right if he wanted it that way.
By the way, who is this Lawyer Simpson?
He handled all of Dad's business and legal affairs for him. He offices over at the county seat.
I was just wondering. Oh, by the way, you mind if we go into town this afternoon? Thought we'd like to stretch our legs a bit.
No, it's quite all right. You've gone through enough with us the past few days. Go out and have yourself a good time.
Mr. Willing, I'll expect you boys to keep this matter very confidential. It's highly irregular to show you such a document as this, but under the circumstances, I feel that I'm doing the Fletcher heirs a mighty big favor.
You can trust us, Mr. Simpson.
Now, what do you suggest?
When you call on Bob and Jane tomorrow, insist that Jake Ballard be present.
Uh-huh.
Also insist that we're present as witnesses. Leave the rest to us.
Well and good. I'll see you two tomorrow afternoon.
Right.
I'm glad you came out, Mr. Simpson.
Yeah.
There's some legal work we wanted you to prepare for us to carry out the wishes Dad left in this letter to us.
Well, we'll get around to that after we discuss some other matters.
Here comes Floy with Ballard now.
I'm glad you asked that Jake be present. After all, he is our partner in business now.
Well, howdy, Lawyer Simpson. How are you?
Oh, fine, Jake, fine. I'm glad you're present because there are a few things regarding Mr. Fletcher's estate that we should all understand.
Oh, sure, certainly. Of course, you know how... Well, I feel awful grateful for what Dad Fletcher did for me, Lawyer Simpson.
Mm, naturally. Mr. Willing.
Yeah?
I'd like to ask you and Mr. Slowey and Mr. Dean to serve as witnesses to this meeting and the things that transpire.
Glad to be of help, Mr. Simpson.
Jake, I have examined the letter left in your care by the deceased, and apparently it's genuine.
You know, I can't help feeling, Mr. Simpson, that Dad Fletcher, he was a little too liberal toward me. But, of course, if it was his wish, then it makes me mighty happy.
Well, I have here the last will and testament of the deceased, which I will read at this time.
The will?
I didn't even know Dad had made a will.
Neither did I. We had discussed it with him many times, and... Well, he always told us that such a thing was unnecessary, since Bob and I were his only heirs.
Well, just when was this will made, Mr. Simpson?
About 6 months ago, Jake, and on my insistence, since he had decided to include you in the estate.
But I don't understand why...
If you don't mind, Jake, we'll explain everything after I read the will. It's short and is as follows. I, James Fletcher, being of sound mind, do hereby bequeath one half of all my earthly holdings and possessions to my daughter Jane and my son Robert. I hope my children will understand my liberal attitude as I provide for Jake Ballard, the son of my good friend and partner, John Ballard, deceased. All my success and wealth I owe to the kindness of John Ballard. And I feel justified in having Jake Ballard share my earthly properties, holdings, and money. Therefore, I bequeath to him one half of said properties.
One half? Hey, this doesn't make sense.
Bob, it makes mighty good sense.
I agree with Mr. Willing.
But why did he write that letter? Since the will was made out, leaving one half to Jake instead of one third.
Get Jake to tell you why he wrote the letter.
Why are you driving at that?
You know, Jake.
I'm in the dark about this thing, just as the rest of you are.
Tell him, Jake.
Now, look here.
I'll tell him. The late Jim Fletcher trapped his own killer.
I don't understand, Foy.
Let Jake tell you. He killed your father.
You're a liar.
Don't reach for that gun.
All right, Jake. Now, take it easy. If you try anything else, you're going to get more than just a slug in your hand.
I'm afraid there's some explaining to do here.
All right, Bob. Jake forced your father to write that letter at the point of a gun. Your father made it look good, knowing that when the real will came to light, it would throw the blame on Jake. He then faked an ambush, killing after having shot your father in the back. It's too bad, Jake, that you didn't wait, because Jim Fletcher was even more liberal than you forced him to be.
I reckon you'll be bragging for the next 6 months how you tracked down old Jake Ballard.
Yeah, I reckon I will.
Boy Willing, the great cowboy detective.
All right. You guys don't have to rub it in.
Well, I don't understand why you wanted to leave the Fletcher place. We could have had a job there as long as we wanted it.
A job? Who wants a job?
Well, I'd been satisfied just hanging around Jane Fletcher myself.
Oh, but that wouldn't have made her too happy, I'm afraid.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, anyway, we've got over $100 in our jeans. Where are we headed for?
Well, I hear there's a big rodeo next month over at Carson City.
Well, we're heading in that direction. Let's go.
Let's go.
Drifting along, singing a song.
Heard with the riders of the Purple Sage in today's story were Mr. Joe Granby as Lawyer Simpson, Miss Helen Gerald as Janie, Howard Culver as Bob. Your announcer was the killer, Jake Ballard. Now here is Foy Willing and the boys to bring you another of their Western Heart songs. The new and popular love ballad entitled, The Leaf of Love.
The leaf of love is slowly falling, like winter storm with rain and snow. You broke a heart in one short moment. The leaf of love is falling.
I'll never forget at our first meeting. Maybe it was meant to be. I didn't think you'd prove false-hearted and kill the soul inside of me.
My stormy road I'm traveling on now, where I will end. God only knows. A beaten rock along the river is quiet and peaceful where it flows. The leaf of love is slowly falling, like winter storm with rain and snow. You broke a heart in one moment.
The leaf of love is falling low. Well, now suppose we call on the great cowboy detective himself to tell you what the riders of the Purple Sage are going to sing next.
All right, you guys can stop that cowboy detective stuff.
Okay, Sherlock, we won't say another word about it.
Well, I expect we'd better get back to Western music and song.
Here's one, Cotton, we hope will please the folk. It's an old-timer called the Train Whistle Blues.
Well, all aboard. We're listening. Let's go.
When a woman gets the blues, she hangs her little head and she cries. When a woman gets the blues, she hangs her little head and cries. When a man gets the blues, he grabs the first train and flies.
Every time I see that lonesome railroad train, every time I see that lonesome railroad train, it makes me wish I was going home again. Look yonder, coming down the railroad track, coming back. Look yonder, coming down the railroad track, with the black smoke rolling from that old smokestack.
It used to be that the great cattle kingdoms covered vast areas of unfenced rangeland, and a cattleman's closest neighbor might be 50 miles away. Little wonder that strangers riding by were heartily welcomed and provided with food and shelter as a matter of course. That was the beginning of the traditional Western hospitality. For the hostess who serves Weber's bread is certain that her guests and family alike will enjoy its freshness and distinctive flavor. As toast for breakfast, sandwiches for lunch, or in between snacks, and when served with more elaborate meals, Weber's bread is always an enjoyable, substantial item on the menu. Buy Weber's bread when you go shopping. You'll find it on your grocer's shelves, the really good bread in the blue gingham wrapper.
A Song of the West depicting a cowboy's religion comes your way now from the Riders of the Purple Sage as they blend their fine Western voices to sing Cowboy's Heaven.
This is Foy Willing again. It's been mighty nice keeping company with you today. And we hope you'll all be on hand next week. Until then, from Al Sloy, Jimmy Dean, myself, and all of the Riders of the Purple Sage, so long and good luck to you all.
Heard your all-star Western theater, a V.M. Bear production starring America's great Western singers, Boy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage. My name is Cotton C. Clark. This program came to you from Columbia Square. K.N. Exlethangelis, the voice of Hollywood.